Please rise for the reading of our text today. And we are going to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings in Scripture, from Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 9 and verse 15. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. We pray. O Lord, our Maker and Redeemer and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you will open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. And you may be seated. You know, sometimes I think that we forget just how special we are to God. And, you know, it's easy standing up here week after week preaching and preaching the law and everything. I mean, we kind of forget that God indeed loves us. And we are indeed so very special in His sight. Special to the Father. Special to the Son. Special to the Holy Spirit. I mean, when you read this creation account, for instance, everything in the creation, everything else in the creation, this is what they get. Let there be. Or, let the earth bring forth. It's why God's saying, I don't have time for it, okay? But just let there be this, and let the earth bring forth this, and let the seas bring forth that. But then it comes to man. It comes to us. And we get this. The Lord formed man. And the word formed means molded or squeezed. And you begin to see that he is indeed literally the potter, isn't he? And we are literally the clay. Everything else just gets let there be and let this bring forth, but we get the very hands of God. Molding us, shaping us, squeezing us into what we call man. And just pause and think for a minute what all went into that original creation, the first man. You know, we're still discovering so much about the human body. We have, you take DNA, DNA alone, mind-boggling, 24 miles of DNA in your body. 24 miles. And scientists have kind of figured out about 2.4 miles of it. And I like when I read about this in the secular thing, you know, they go, the rest of it just is a lot of mumbo jumbo. Oh, really? Maybe they don't understand it yet. Maybe, huh? Yeah, you know, because it's mind-boggling. 24 miles of DNA and we only understand 2.4 of it right now. Just amazing. Then you take, you know, the brain, the function of the brain. Several thousand miles of 100 billion interconnected nerve cells that call the shots. The brain just moved my hands like this. I told them to go there. The brain is moving my lips. Right now it's taking the vibrations that are coming out of my mouth and it's processing them as they come into your ears. If you're awake. It's early, so I guess you still are. Okay, but I mean, it's just amazing what this brain does. And there's more. I mean, scientists have discovered over 500 different functions of your liver. 500. One square inch of skin. There are 4 yards of nerve fibers. 1,300 nerve cells. 100 sweat glands. I have more than that, but if you've ever played basketball with me, you know what I'm talking about. But typically you have 100 sweat glands. There's 3 million cells in this 1 inch, 3 yards of blood vessels. There's 45 miles of nerves in the skin of a human being, and your heart beats 40 million times every single year. Your left lung is smaller than your right lung. You know why? Well, God had to make room for your heart. Every person has a unique, not only a unique fingerprint, but a unique tongue print. Do you know that? It seems kind of senseless in one sense because, you know, like, what would you need a tongue print for? If someone sticks their tongue on a flagpole, you're going to know who did it. You know, one's called, help, help. You know, but you have a different tongue print, too. The average human body contains enough sulfur to kill all the fleas in an average dog. So, when Smokey Joe has fleas, just hug him. Well, maybe not. That may not be a good idea. But you've got enough in there to kill all the fleas in an average dog. You have enough carbon to make 900 pencils. You have enough potassium to fire a toy cannon. Bang! You have enough fat to make 7 bars of soap. I've got enough left over to do the laundry. But the human body is amazing. You've got enough phosphorus to make 2,200 match heads. There's enough water in you to fill a 10-gallon tank. We have a whole pharmacy within us. The human body is capable of producing all drugs. Like that's, you know, it's almost like a business. The pharmaceutical companies are trying to help supplement the production of the human body and their drugs. And maybe if you're sick, there's a shortage of them, and so they try to bring it up. And, you know, you can get into the whole thing on holistic and natural health, too. The same thing, the whole idea of helping to supplement these things in our body that are made naturally. And then look what he does in the reproductive act. We all start out as this single cell, and all of this stuff is miraculously continued. And somehow he sets it up so that there's never two people exactly alike. Who but God could plan such a thing? Who could have such foresight, such knowledge, as the psalmist says, it is too wonderful for me. I can't fathom it. All I can do is bow down and worship. All I can do. I mean, do you really want to call any of this stuff chance? Go ahead. Go ahead. That we somehow evolved into this masterpiece. And here we are. We all, you know, we all started out with this clay prototype, beautifully sculpted by the hands of God. And perhaps laying on the ground, I mean, I don't know. And then God does something incredible. After he sculpts this human body, he stoops down and with his holy lips, he breathes life into Adam. Mind-boggling. He breathes life into us. This is when people say, when does life begin? This is when it began. Conception is a part of all that. It's just a continual a process of regeneration, but life began here. And any interruption of that life, which begins at conception, as well as we know, is murder. Plain and simple. And how many times have we wittingly or unwittingly ended a life because we've been conditioned to believe that abortion and birth control are acceptable methods of dealing with what we perceive to be a problem. When did we start perceiving miracles to be a problem? Well, thankfully, the same God who creates life also redeems it. And there's no sin that we've committed that he won't forgive if we confess it and receive his forgiveness. Oh yeah, that's the bad news in all this, isn't it? Sin entered the world, and the original Adam became flawed. And that flaw was passed on to every one of us. And this is a perfect sinless body and soul that became tarnished and susceptible to all kinds of damage. And we have, I don't like using the term, but people, you know, the handicapped, okay? I'm just saying it because I know you know who I'm talking about when we say that. But God even uses the handicapped. He uses the imperfections in us for His glory. John 9:2-4. And His disciples asked Him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." And so you see, the point is that God is glorified even in our imperfections. But I want to talk about the second part of the statement that Jesus was talking about we must work the works of Him who sent me. And He was talking about Himself and about His disciples here. But I believe that the principle is the same for us. We must work the works of Him who sent. It applies to each one of us. God creates us, redeems us, and then sends us to accomplish His purposes. Ephesians 2:8-10. What does it say? "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Ephesians 2:8-10. Now, with that verse in the back of your mind, look again at our text and note the reading and the order here. Man is created, and then the garden is planted, and then the man is put in the garden. You see, God created a task for Adam that Adam was especially suited for. And He has a task for you and me that you are especially suited for as well. Not only in the world, but in the body of Christ. And we know all about spiritual gifts, but we're not going to go into that. We're going to concentrate on our place in the world today rather than in the body of Christ. But Adam was created in Christ Jesus for a good work that God had prepared for him. And Adam's workplace was the garden. That was his workplace. And oh, what a workplace it was. Every tree that was pleasant to the sight and good for food. There was abundant water. I mean, if you read the rest of that part of Genesis, there was rivers all over the place. And there was minerals and gold and everything that he needed to make this garden the best it could possibly be. And then after the workplace had been prepared, then God put him into the garden with these instructions: dress it and keep it. Dress the garden. What a strange and yet all-encompassing job description. What do you do for a living? Well, I'm a garden dresser. Well, that's what Adam was. He was a garden dresser. What in the world does it mean to dress a garden? Well, in Hebrew, the word dresser means to adorn. To adorn. It was Adam's job then to adorn, to add his personal touch to the workplace where God had set him. How many of you ever watched the show, The World's Dirtiest Jobs? Yeah, it's on the Discovery Channel with Mike Rowe. And he looks for these dirty jobs, and then they bring a film crew along and they film it. Like, he's spent a day blowing insulation into an attic. Oh yeah, that's what I want to do for a living. I want to have itchy fiberglass on me on a hot summer day. Yes, indeed. You know, they've shown him greasing trams on a these trams that go in the mountains. They showed him greasing the cable cars. Dangling from the head, no thanks. They showed him working on a honey wagon, you know, emptying the septic tanks. What an interesting job. Well, I was thinking about that and thinking, boy, you know, in my life, I've had some pretty dirty jobs. And I bet you, as I reflect on that, you're going to think back on your life and some of the dirty, messy jobs that you maybe had as well. I remember starting out working at a China farm, which was, we grew Chinese vegetables. And it was black dirt, and we'd be on our hands and knees in long rows pulling weeds. At the end of the day, it's just filthy black. Well, then I stepped up in the world. I got a job at a sod farm, rolling sod all day. Okay? Same thing. Come home filthy black. And then I moved up and got into the foundry. That sod farms in China, nothing. Nothing as far as dirt goes. You don't know dirt till you work in the foundry. I mean, it's not only on you, it's in you. Because you're breathing it in all the time. And I was beginning to think I was destined to be pigpen. Because of all these jobs I was having. But it wasn't just the dirt jobs either. I had other ones. Working in a diner. How many have ever worked in a restaurant and had to clean the fryers? Or the grills? You know? Filthy, dirty job. Then I was in the Navy and I got to clean the heads. Bathrooms. Another fun job, all right? And then I got to work in the scullery in the Navy. That's the cafeteria place. Just filthy. Ugh, man. Dirty job. And I'm sure that most of you, you know, could tell me a story or two about some of the dirty jobs that you've had, too. But whether I knew it or not, every one of these jobs were adorned with my presence. Now, don't get me wrong here, that like I'm God's gift to my job. That's not the point. Because an adornment can be beautiful, or it can be tacky, or it can be ugly. Okay? That's the way it is. It can be something beautiful or something ugly. But I do know this too, that I am remembered one way or the other by every co-worker and boss I've ever had. And if you think about it in your own life, I bet you can say the same thing. You remember your co-workers, all of them. You remember your bosses. You may not be able to put a name on them or anything like that, but you remember them. Because whether we like it or not, we adorn the place where we work. And that's what it means to work as unto the Lord, really. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not men. Be an adornment for Him. Ecclesiastes 3:12 and 13, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good work as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in his toil. This is God's gift to man. Did you catch that? The fact that you can work, it's God's gift to you. What's the first thing He gave Adam? Life. What's the second thing He gave him? A job. It's a gift. It's a gift. And Adam, made in God's image, and we know how creative God is. We've just talked about the human body that he created. God is very creative. And so He wants Adam to bring his creativity to the workplace. And He wants you to bring the creativity He's put in you to your workplace. Give it your personal touch. And how much more beautiful it will be for those who have been touched by Christ. Are you a teacher? Adorn your classroom. Adorn your school. Adorn your students. Bring all that God has placed in you to the workplace. Are you a financial planner? Adorn your profession with integrity, godly care, and concern for your clients. Are you on wait staff? Maybe you work at the Ground Reef. But adorn the dining room with your presence. And make the people who are eating there remember you, because you have adorned the dining room. You have put your stamp on the service. Are you a mill worker? Adorn the shop with the light of Christ. Are you retired? Adorn your neighborhood. Adorn the places where you volunteer. Do you work in the health field? Adorn your place of work with mercy, professionalism, cheerfulness. Do you work in the personnel department? Adorn it with patience and creative distribution of the gifts and talents of the people under you. Are you a homemaker? Adorn the walls of your house with your personality. Adorn the meatloaf you make. And adorn your children as you touch them. Are you a student? Put your adornment on your assignments and your relationships with others in the class. Are you an athlete? Adorn the court, adorn the field with your concentration, with your dedication, with your joy. I don't mean to embarrass Jack, especially since he can't be here, but I remember watching SportsCenter last summer, and he was on one of the top 10 plays of the day. And he had just made this spectacular diving catch, and he bounced up off the ground with the ball in his glove, and there was this look of joy on his face. And I wish I could have frozen. I said, that's Jack. That's who he is. He brings joy to whatever he does. And he was adorning the baseball field. He was adorning SportsCenter with this great joy. You see, this adornment too, it isn't something that we can fake. It's something that God puts in us. And the more beautiful it is, the more we have been sold, the more we've been sold out to Him, surrendered to Him. And thankful to Him and appreciating Him and what He's done for us, the more this adornment is a beautiful thing wherever you may be placed. And He does want us to let it out of the bag. Don't sit on it or stifle it. I mean, look at the freedom that He gave Adam in the garden. He had everything. Free to do anything but what? Sin. And everything in the workplace where you work is yours too. Except sin. Make the most of it while you're there. Treasure it. And that's the second command given to Adam here. Not only was he to dress the garden, but he was to keep it. And there's that word keep again. Put a hedge around as if it's valuable. Treasure it. Treasure where God has placed you. Whatever it may be, for whatever season it is in your life. It's a gift. It's a gift. And treasure it. I'm going to show you a video clip right now. It's from one of my favorite videos, which I really appreciate the fact that the Reith family has been with me for so many years. This is the third time through, guys, for this video. Yeah, I just love it. It's called The Music Box. And we're not going to show the whole video, okay? Just going to take a clip out of it. And I'll tell you beforehand, it's a story of a guy who finds the joy of the Lord. He gets saved. And he is just filled with the joy of the Lord. And the part I'm going to show you is how this transferred over into his home and how it transferred into his job. Here we go. This is home.
The cost of coffee, as you know, has gone up approximately 20%. share something of great importance with you. I think it will mean a lot to both of you.
There's a guy who was adorning his home and his workplace. Now, obviously overdone, but just to make the point, no one wants to be obnoxious. But when you look at that and you see how he was adorning his home with the joy of the Lord and how he brought that joy to the workplace as well, again, you know that God isn't calling you to be an obnoxious Christian. But wouldn't you agree that I don't care where you are right now, where you're working, whether you're stay at home, whether you're in the factory, whether you're in a restaurant, whether you're in a school, wherever you are, wouldn't you agree that there should be a difference between you who have been saved and know it by the blood of Jesus Christ and those who are working around you? I don't think you can deny it. God created you, redeemed you, and now he has sent you to adorn the workplace where he has placed you. Tomorrow is Monday. It's a work day. We'll be going back to the place where God has planted us. And the charge that he gave to Adam is the same charge he gives to you and I today. Dress it. Adorn it. And keep it. Treasure it. In Jesus' name, amen.